CliffCentral.com.
Justice Malala is here. It's time for the Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's. And look at this. I'm actually eating a Nando's chicken salad.
Oh, see, isn't that nice? It looks so healthy.
It's
fantastic.
All right. Let's not get stuck in my dietary habits, because we could be here all day.
No.
What I'd love to know about, I posted a video of this. It was so obscene that I didn't know how to express in words what I saw. So I just put up the video of the ANC's Eastern Cape Conference, and I just said, the glorious ANC.
Yes.
And left it and let people just say what they thought. And the comments were extraordinary. All of them more or less on the same tip.
Yeah.
What happened there?
It was so sad. You know, this year the ANC's been celebrating 100 years of the birth of, what would have been 100 years of the birth of a long-standing president of that organization, and that's Oliver Tambo. Today, this week as we speak, a 5-rand coin, a beautiful one, has been launched with honoring him and so forth. So you look at the heights which this organization has come from, to the new definition to a chair that this organization has given. I mean, think of what one can do with a chair, the humble chair. And you saw, Gareth, chairs, not one, not two, not 20, hundreds of chairs flying across a conference room. And you sat there and thought, these are the leaders. Remember, if you are a delegate to an ANC conference of any sort, you're a leader from your village or your township, and you go to the regional conference, then you go to the provincial conference. One of those guys throwing chairs could be a minister, could be a deputy minister in the cabinet, could be an MEC. This is what we're sitting on. For those viewers who didn't see the images, but basically, it just descended into absolute and total chaos, where one side of the room, supporters of the premier, Phumulo Masualle, basically unleashed chairs at the other side and left 9 people injured and people bleeding on the floor. But to your question, just quickly, you asked what happened there. There is almost a textbook to it now of what happens at ANC conferences. And it's this. You arrive, you look at the state of play, you say, okay, there are 2 main contenders. It's Gareth and it's Justice. I'm with Gareth. And so what are numbers? In the Eastern Cape, you had 1,706 delegates. You count the numbers and you say, the other side looks like it's got more delegates, voting delegates, than us. So we're going to lose if we allow this thing to go its natural way and we vote and we lose. So what do you do? So from Thursday evening, the Masualle faction, if you will, or support base, kept on saying, no, we can't proceed because Gareth doesn't have his ID on him, or Justice, let's call his Lusikisiki branch and check if that branch did really send him. So the other part of the leadership said, no, everyone's got their ID. Everyone who comes in, they are checked. There are all sorts of things are put there. But even if that was the cleanest, most credible audit that was done, that conference would not have ended peacefully, because the Masualle crowd, which is the Jacob Zuma crowd, which is the Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma crowd, wanted that conference to collapse so that there is no new leadership, because the leadership that was going to emerge was going to support Cyril Ramaphosa, which it did.
So give me some insight here, as someone who's never been to one of these things.
Missed out so much.
Is there an instruction given that you must be as disruptive as possible? Is it, does someone say, throw, is it item number one? Comrades, when we go in, we must throw chairs.
You know, I've been trying to bait some people to actually sue me. Andile Lungisa, who used to be the deputy leader of the ANC Youth League, has been identified by so many people. In fact, I had Stellan Dabene Abrahams, who's a deputy minister who was at that conference. I interviewed her on Monday, and I asked her directly, were these people, your question exactly, were these people led by Andile Lungisa? And she said, yes, we all saw it. Yes, that is what happened. Meaning that he went on stage, he stood there, and he said to people, no, let's not do this. We're going to fight these guys. Well, not fight them, but essentially we will not accept. We will not accept. We will not accept. And he was the mover and shaker who went on to lead that walkout and to lead a parallel meeting in East London. So, yes, basically, these people are led. These people are organized to walk out and to disrupt these conferences.
So they did end up losing the day, though.
They did end up losing the day.
The conference was held to have been, there was a quorum.
Yeah.
They voted. The other faction, the Cyril Ramaphosa faction, won. The Lungisas and so on challenged it in court.
Mm-hmm.
It was also dismissed by the court because it wasn't urgent.
Mm.
So the Eastern Cape is now a Cyril Ramaphosa province. Is it that easy? Is it that cut and dried?
It's not that cut and dried. What's going to happen is that the other side, which, you know, the ANC leadership is trying to sort of hold out an olive branch to, but I think that they will be defied. I think that there will be a court challenge to this new leadership. What this new leadership did was to really introduce a new way of fighting back within the ANC. And that way was to say, if you challenge us on, oh, Gareth is not a real delegate, we will accommodate you. We will deal with it until we are satisfied that we've dealt with it. So even if it takes 2 weeks for this conference, those guys were prepared to sit there and listen to all the challenges from your Andile Lungisas and others for a week. So we could have had, if they hadn't walked out, we could have had the ANC conference in the Eastern Cape still sitting today, a week later, and through to this weekend and to the weekend after. That's what they said. We will deal with everyone until you are ready to have a free and fair conference. So when the Lungisa side realized this, they said, oops, we can't afford to sit here and make and until we say yes, all everything is fine. So they walk out. So what's going to happen in court is most likely that the incumbents, Oscar Mabuyane and his executive, will say, we did everything we could do. We still had a 50% plus one majority in the House. And so this is the legitimate leadership. And I suspect that they now have a really strong case in the Eastern Cape. So yes, Cyril Ramaphosa is ahead in the
So where does Eastern this leave Cape. The other camp?
The other camp is in trouble. First of all, if you think about a guy like Mlibo Qoboshiane, who is an MEC in the provincial cabinet, you think about Masualle himself, who is the premier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I suspect Cyril Ramaphosa is going to say to Oscar Mabuyane, look, my brother, don't fire him. Oscar Mabuyane a few months ago said, no, I'm not going to fire anyone if I win. But they have to account to the new leadership, if there's a new leadership, or to the leadership which has been elected. So imagine that someone walks out, like I'm about to do now. I'm going to walk out of this studio. And then you and I have to have a meeting afterwards, after I abandoned you in the studio and left you on your own to speak to our viewers for the next 30 minutes on your own. but I expect to work with you next door, although I walked out here.
It's like a man cheating on his wife and then expecting her to just be okay with it.
Hi, honey, I'm home. Yeah. You know, it doesn't work like that. So I suspect that there'll be actions. I mean, if I was Phumulo Masualle, I would say, look, I'm a member of the ANC. Thank you very much. Maybe I'll just step down. But I don't think that's the way things are done at the moment in this political environment. I think that the Eastern Cape will see possibly a new premier and possibly a new leadership.
We're lucky his name is Maswele and he's in the Eastern Cape, because if he was in Gauteng and his name was Matswele, it would be a whole different world.
Look, I need to go to the gym. That's all I'll say.
All right, let's talk about the other provinces, because the Eastern Cape is as messy as it is. There seems to at least be some kind of direction there.
Yeah.
Well, certainly there's an outcome, not necessarily a direction. KZN?
They've
defied the national ANC.
Yeah, no, they say they are going to appeal that judgment which declared them unlawful, that declared the leadership unlawful and unlawfully elected 3 weeks ago now. And so the ANC nationally, the National Executive Committee of the ANC had said, look, don't appeal. Let's try to solve this let's find a political solution, they said. On Sunday, they met the KwaZulu-Natal leadership. On Monday, they met the so-called rebels. But Sihle Zikalala and his PEC, Provincial Executive Committee, are adamant that they're going to do this. And so my view is that they're showing the finger to Jacob Zuma and Gwede Mantashe and the National ANC, which means that you have turbulence there. Then you have the Free State, where there's a court challenge to the fact that Ace Magashule has been...
Ace Magashule, as of this week.
What was the name of that university again?
An honorary degree.
That's fine. Thank you very much. Do you want to go next door? We want to give you an honorary degree, by the way, for your services to humanity or to staying, to longevity. I mean, he has been ANC chairman in the Free State for 23 years, I think. I think he deserves an award for that, you know. And he built that website for... How much was it? 176 million.
Yeah, it was a very expensive website.
Yes, yes.
And it's no Amazon or eBay or Google.
No, that it's not. Anyway, moving on swiftly. So he's being taken to court by a certain Mr. Miffy, who is miffed that this man has been in power for months longer than he should be in office, and his central his provincial executive committee. So you have KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape, Free State, and in the Northwest, there's all kinds of murmurings about the Bojanala region and other regions which have also gone to court. Plus, in the Northern Cape, where Cyril has a leadership that supports him, some people are saying, oh, maybe we should try our own little bit here. But I don't think that's going to work. The conference was a long time ago. So I think that's going
to... It seems like everybody is looking at this as now we must be opportunists as much as we can possibly be, because whichever side wins, we've either got to back the winning side or we've got to gain as much ground right now as we can.
One of the things that's happening is that people think, okay, if I can be with a side that looks like it's going to win, let me extend my stay in office by disrupting things. So if you look at KwaZulu-Natal, for example, the decision to appeal that judgment is basically saying, no, we will stay in office for as long as we can, and we will tie this thing up in the courts. Eastern Cape, pretty much the same thing. We're going to go and say this was an unlawful, illegal gathering, and therefore we are still the leadership, and we will stay, and we will not take any instructions or any directives from this new leadership. So It's basically, I'm just going to stay in here so that I can loot as much as I can before someone else comes in.
But then my question to you is, if that's what it's like at provincial level, then what must it be like at regional and branch level?
Oh, no, it's a free-for-all. The reason why in KwaZulu-Natal we have had some say 500 over the past 8 years or so. Some put the number at the lower number, but you just think about the run-up to the August 3 election last year, where in 4 months, I think 18 councillors or chairpersons of ANC branches were killed. That is exactly what's happening.
Up to 500.
That's over about 8 years since 2009.
But politicians don't get danger pay. It sounds like a very dangerous profession.
It's a very dangerous profession. If you're in KwaZulu-Natal in particular.
And if you're in the ANC.
Exactly. But we've spoken about this before, and I'm really persuaded by the argument made by Professor Paulo Zulu from UKZN, who said and told the Mwerani Commission that the biggest problem is that Justice Malala can just walk in. He's got no qualifications. He's got nothing that says this man will be a good counselor. But all he knows best is to shout louder than Sia or louder than Mabale. And because he shouts loudest, he can be the local chairman. And then he bumps off Gareth, who's the local councillor. And because he shouts louder than everyone else, he becomes the councillor. That means that he's earning whatever, 30,000 rand a month or whatever it is at the moment, plus all the perks. And he sits on the tender committee and he says, oh, my friend Joe Wilson over there owns a construction company. He must build the school. He must build the road. He must build this. And he gets a 20, 30, 40, whatever cut he gets from that. So it's murder out there. And it's extending to the provincial levels. And believe me, it's going to extend to the national level. And that is why the ANC conference in December looks decidedly in danger of not happening.
I heard something interesting to turn our attention to the opposition for a minute. I heard that the DA is so ideologically diverse at the moment that they cannot find common ground. If the ANC were to split or the ANC were to fall to pieces, as it seems in some places it is, the DA would follow suit because the only thing holding them together is that they're not the ANC. What do you think of that?
I think the DA has some ideological differences, but I don't think they're as deep as all that. I think that if you look at what's happening in the city of Cape Town, where Mayor De Lille and one of her MECs, J.P. Smith, have been suspended from DA activities, that is a long-standing fight between those two. It is ideologically based because De Lille comes from the Independent Democrats. Smith is from a hardline DA background. And it's been going on for quite a long time, this clash between the two. But you're right about what is to a bigger issue. What is the opposition doing when the ANC is disintegrating before our very eyes? This is the time when the DA should be a machine and should be exploiting the differences in the ANC. If you think about the incident, the suspension of De Lille and Smith in the Western Cape, in Cape Town, one of the things about the ANC in the Western Cape is that itself is mired in fights, in factions. You'll remember that I think it's Faiz Jacobs, the secretary, was hit by someone else. I think it was one of their leaders. It's a free-for-all. So the parallel you're making is that it's for the DA, for the opposition in general, it's unfortunate that when they should be united and taking advantage, they themselves are disintegrating.
So who's, is this a lack of leadership there? Is it a lack of direction? Is it just the party eating itself up? Has it become too successful too quickly?
I think in the Western Cape, certainly the DA has become successful over time, but I don't think it's managed. I think as the DA becomes bigger, it's finding that its own managing expectations, managing people's expectations for themselves, that, oh, you know, I could be the mayor. Does J.P. Smith think he could be the mayor and not Patricia de Lille? Also, some of the negatives of incumbency, of being in power, will visit the DA in Nelson Mandela Bay, in Johannesburg, in Tshwane. So think about one of the issues that's been raised in the Western Cape. The special investigating unit that the city has was looking into security arrangements and fraud and corruption around tenders and so forth. Turns out one of the investigations turned towards the mayor's house and security installations there. It's starting to sound a bit like Nkandla. So they look at the security installations. Now, we don't know what they found. Maybe they found that the mayor was within her rights or that she didn't have the security installations, whatever it is. A letter is written to Musi Maamane saying, oh, look, she put in huge, massive amounts of security in her house. She's corrupt. Get rid of her. So if you were not in power, you wouldn't be fighting over Gareth has now got electric fences, two security bodyguards, and so forth and so forth. Because, well, you're just an opposition leader out there. So I think all those things, humans being humans, political parties being political parties, will come to the DA and other parties that taste power. Mongameli Bobani in the Nelson Mandela Bay. Part of the allegations is that, you know, he was in charge of a job scheme, and suddenly he was hiring a lot of people, way more than was necessary or budgeted for, and it's an allegation. But you can see here's the UDM. Bantu Holomisa always fighting against corruption and so forth, and his own guy in that city is being accused of all these things. So, I think it happens to all political parties. That's why you need to change them all the time.
Well, the ANC used to be a liberation organization, then it had to become a government. DA has always been an opposition party, and then in some places it's become the government.
Yeah.
And sometimes these transitions don't suit the old ways.
Indeed. I mean, one of the things that I find we could speak about is perhaps we need to get to a point where Gareth is successful in his own right and then goes into politics to do good, not to go in and say, I'm going to make my money. I want to be a millionaire.
This is my opportunity.
This is my opportunity.
But Justice, you know what? I mean, let's just accept that being cynical, which is what we are about, most of these politicians, is probably the safest option. Because even if they're good people,
yeah,
we still need to check them out.
We need.
Everybody thought Patricia was such a good person, and she may be. Mm. Who knows? That investigation still has to be to be conducted. When people voted for Jacob Zuma and Polokwane, maybe they didn't know he was as bad as he was, but they believed that this was a man who could change things. There must have been some who had good intentions.
I think they. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
We did know certain things.
Can we not touch on state-owned enterprises? It has been a great week for them because they just got another bailout in the form of SAA's $3 billion, I think.
Yes.
From Malusi, very nicely done. Let's just not talk about it this week.
Well, can we just say, for those guys who know finance out there, and my knowledge of finance is very, very dangerous. But one of the things that was interesting was that the money, that 3 billion, came from something called the National Revenue Fund.
Mm.
That thing means, according to my economist friends, my finance friends, that there is a bank account where your incomings go into it. You haven't budgeted. It's just a transmission. It's the money goes in there. Then you decide, okay, I'm going to give so much to education, so much to...
It's almost like a pre-budget.
It's a pre-budget, yes. You're supposed to, it goes in there, then you allocate it to your budget. So we dipped into money that we haven't even budgeted for. It means if you're an ordinary human being, you're living from hand to mouth. You've just been paid and you hubs the money and you go drinking. You're not saying, I've just been paid. Okay, so much is for rent. So much is for
petrol.
And so much so that by the 24th or whatever the day of your paycheck comes through, you know that this is what I've budgeted for. You hubsing the money as it comes in at midnight on the 25th. And you're going drinking. That is what we did last Friday with SAA. You know what? Dudu Mieni has been guzzling billions. Just this year, you remember the 2 billion and so forth. And we keep on hapsing money that comes in on payday and giving it to her. And we think that we're going to turn SAA around. But yes, you're right. Let's not talk about...
Just one last thing that deserves your attention. Mugabe is in South Africa. He's giving advice to our president about how to run a country.
Shall I cry or shall I laugh?
Meanwhile, Zimbabwe is imploding. Grace has bought herself a 6 million rand Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
It's all good. It's worth saying that... Right now, Zimbabwe is going through a terrific crisis. People don't have money to buy. It's called inflation, where you're sitting here with 10 rand, and 10 rand can buy you a bottle of olive oil or sunflower oil or millimeal. And suddenly the value of your money plummets. So now you have to pay 100, but you don't have the 100. You're still stuck with your 10 rand or 10 Zim bond or whatever it is he's using at the moment. So the value of money is going down. The value of real things is going up, and ordinary Zimbabweans cannot buy, and they cannot access US dollars. And so you go to Zim today, people don't have food. It's a crisis is looming. Another wave of illegal Zimbabweans will be coming to South Africa. And so you look at this and you say, wow, Robert Mugabe is in South Africa. He gave some advice to our president, saying that, you know, the ANC is us, is our revolution and so forth. Man, that guy should go and fix his country. That's what he should be doing. But no one will say that. Instead, we'll allow his lovely wife to come to South Africa, and all we have to do is make sure that our electrical gadgets are safe for all of us. Otherwise, we are in trouble for sure. Anyway, it will make our listeners happy to know that Grace has bought herself a 6 million rand Rolls Royce, reinforcements to it, and that's the car she'll be using in South Africa as she comes shopping, as she comes to visit her sons, and no one can touch her because we gave her diplomatic immunity after she beat up a South African woman. What a happy place.
Thank you, Justice. Horrible note to leave things on, but there we go. That's the burning platform, everybody. It's brought to you by Nando's every Thursday. Justice Malala will return triumphantly next week.
Absolute pleasure. Cheers. CliffCentral.com.